Your basketball appointment show starts now. This is Bucks Weekly, your weekly checkup of your Milwaukee Bucks and all around the rest of the NBA. And now here's your host, Justin Garcia.
All right, what a week for the Milwaukee Bucks, who picked up a big win last night and have kind of slowly but surely started to find themselves here. We'll get into some of the numbers to take a look at for this Bucks team really over the course of the past 2 weeks, but looking at things since November 1st, it has been a much different Bucks team. And I like to preach sample size and its importance, and you need to have a sizable amount of data to really formulate an opinion on. 9 games may not be a ton, but it does match the eye test in what we've really seen from this team the past few games, especially. But you know, in the month of November, really save for that game against the New York Knicks, it's a Bucks team that has looked much different from the first 5 games of the season, and really those games that we saw very, very early in the season. The second half against the Chicago Bulls, the entire game in Brooklyn against the Nets, the third quarter against the Boston Celtics, and of course that Memphis Grizzlies game. Everything after that, this has very much looked like a different team. And I think it really starts with the identity discussion. We heard Doc Rivers talking quite a bit earlier in the season about this team still searching for its identity. We don't quite know what it is yet. We're going to find it. When you find it, you know. But we don't know what it is yet. And I think they've slowly started to find what this identity is. You know, if we would have had this discussion 4 weeks ago, talking about this before the season started, and if I were to tell you, because I think we're starting to see the signs of what this identity is, but if I were to tell you before the season, hey, the identity for this Milwaukee Bucks team is going to be a defensive team, no one would have believed that. But I think that's the path we're moving down with this group. You look back at that win last night against the Houston Rockets. You look at some of the more recent defensive performances as well. I mentioned some numbers that I was going to share, and we'll just pull the Band-Aid off there. Since November 1st, the Milwaukee Bucks have the 6th best defense in all of the NBA in 9 games played. They are 5th best in the half court, and there's reasons why that's important. I'll get to in just a second. But look, it's 9 games. It's not a huge sample size. It would be easy to cherry pick this and say, well, since this date, this team has done this, and they're the 5th best defense. But the caveat to add here is it's been against formidable competition for the Bucks. 4 of those 9 games that they've played in the month of November have been against 3 of the top 4 offenses in all of the league. You had 2 games against the Cavaliers, a game against the Boston Celtics, and the New York Knicks. Last night's opponent, the Houston Rockets, I know we talked about this a little bit on the broadcast, they're one of the more interesting teams out there because they're really built defensively. That's what triggers everything for that team. They're hovering around a top 10 offense, but in terms of efficiency, they don't really do anything well offensively. How they score is through their defense. They get in the fast break, and that's where they get their points from. But still, it's a team that has been a good offense. And the Bucks slowed them down and held them to a season-low 100 points. So the eye test, the numbers that we just pointed out, it all checks out that this group has been much improved, and it has started with the defense. That's a big reason for this turnaround. The schedule helps, not only the teams that are in front of you, but the sizable amount of home games that you have on the schedule in the month of November. Very, very helpful for this Bucks team. That being said, you still got to win these games. You know, we mentioned the Bulls game, the Memphis Grizzlies game when they were down virtually everyone, the Brooklyn Nets. These are games the Bucks have struggled with in the past, or teams they have struggled with, and it has not been the case. It has largely been a much different team. The defense is what's triggering this turnaround for the Bucks. So I have some more numbers that we'll share to take a look at whether or not this is a defensive team, and if that is going to be their identity, if it's getting back to the defense and having some closers. Damian Lillard, who who had the go-ahead basket last night to win it. You still have Giannis on the floor. When Chris Middleton does make his return, you feel like he's a closer. So is that the identity? We have a defense that's good enough and keeps us in games, and we have these pieces offensively that can take us home from there. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Some more numbers to share on this resurgent Milwaukee Bucks defense. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Weekly.
You're listening to Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
So the Bucks' identity, their quest for it under Doc Rivers, whether or not it is in fact a defensive identity for this team. I just shared the numbers of what the Bucks have been doing in these last nine games in the month of November. They have been an elite defense, sixth best for the entire month. And if we look at only the last 2 weeks, I believe they're the fourth best defense in the league. So you've started to see that steady improvement. I do want to touch on what has really triggered this turnaround for the Bucks, because I think it is several things that we've seen here. But, you know, you go back to that game over the weekend in Charlotte, and I think a few of us had pointed out at the time, too, this it doesn't necessarily mean the Bucks win, but this is a different game and a different ending to the game if Damian Lillard is available. And that's part of this identity that we're talking about here, having somebody that can close those games. You think back to, I hesitate to say the heyday of the Bucks because it's so recent here, but you think back to that era with Mike Budenholzer and where they found success, it was their defense. I know last year, Billy Donovan was the first coach to really speak about this, the head coach of the Bulls, who the Bucks will see tomorrow, talking about the defense and some of the struggles that this group went through early in the season, and really for that matter throughout the season. It never really turned around to the level that you needed to see, but Billy Donovan was the first to point out, look, it's not just Drew Holiday. Everybody's pointing that out. You lost Drew Holiday. You brought in Damian Lillard. You expect the offense to be better, but the defense is going to take a step backward. But as Billy Donovan said, there was more than Drew Holiday. You know, there was Wesley Matthews. And as he coined the phrase, he and Drew Holiday together, those were two junkyard dogs that were going to wreck everything. The Bucks always had help, too. You know, they had the point of attack defender, and you think back to how that roster was constructed, not just the championship year and most recent years, but ever since Mike Budenholzer arrived, you made that trade. What, we just passed the anniversary of it a week or so ago to bring in Eric Bledsoe early in the season. So you always had that point of attack defender, either Eric Bledsoe or Drew Holiday. You had a helper next to him. We saw Wesley Matthews for several years. George Hill would fill that role as well. Even guys that came and went, Dante DiVincenzo excelled in that role. Grayson Allen was a better defender than I think he got credit for. So you had help there, and you structured help too. You had very switchable help on the wings that could come over to the nail and help out there should you get past Drew Holiday before you get to that third wave of Giannis and Brooke Lopez. Well, last year, all of that was gone. The only constant was Giannis and Brooke Lopez were on the team. You didn't have quite as much help on the perimeter. It wasn't structured defensively for those same help techniques. You're asking Giannis to do more, which in turn pulled him further away from the basket. For the first four games of the season, we saw Brooke Lopez playing away from the basket, so it was just much different. When Doc Rivers arrived, I know we talked about it on this show last year, one of the immediate changes that he sparked was, number one, level setting and setting expectations. But more importantly, a few players talked about this. When Doc Rivers came in, it wasn't so much telling the guys what to do as much as it was outlining what not to do. You know, we think back to transition defense especially, and you don't crash the boards. You get back in transition. Bobby Portis talked about this. A handful of players talked about it and just what it changed and how helpful it was to know this is what I am expected to do. It is not any of this free-flowing, do what you want, because you saw a lot of that confusion early in the season. So when that change took place, we saw the Bucks transition defense go from the very worst in the league to still very bad. I think they finished around 19th. Their half-court defense was still bad. You know, it at its low point, the Bucks half-court defense a season ago was ranked 23rd. And that was the final day of Adrian Griffin as the head coach, where the overall defensive rating was also 22nd or 23rd. They weren't good enough in the half court, and they weren't good enough in transition. I don't want to relitigate everything. I've talked about it on this show, on other outlets as well. You look back at everything they did in the offseason, every single move they made, they upgraded. Delon Wright. You know, we had that stretch of three games where he was out of the rotation, but you look at what he's been able to do in the most recent games here. Delon Wright is an upgrade over Pat Beverly in terms of age and in terms of what he is going to bring right now. Torian Prince is an upgrade over Jay Crowder on both ends of the floor, and I think we've seen that so far. Lakers fans, you probably heard from them in the offseason about both Torian Prince and Darvin Ham. But it also comes down to usage and how you use him. Now, I think Torian Prince has probably been asked to do too much so far. But again, when this team gets to full strength, that is going to change. The big one is Gary Trent Jr. You know, we had said for the longest time, this is a massive upgrade over Malik Beasley. And the first week or two of the season, I think that was probably a tough sell when you saw the shooting slump he was going through. We talked about it after the first game. He played great defense against Tyrese Maxey in opening night. Doc Rivers said this the other night, too. He was fantastic defensively, but then he kind of went into a shooting slump, and I think that impacted the defense. The past few games, when he returned from those back spasms, that's the other thing. We don't know how much of it was tied to that as well. But the past few games, he's been hitting shots. His defense has been right back to where it needs to be. He is an upgrade over Malik Beasley. So you have those factors in play. You found ways to sprinkle in A.J. Green, Andre Jackson Jr. as well. Ryan Rollins, too, for that matter. And these are all guys that are capable defenders. A.J. Green, we've talked about for a while. Doc talked about it last night. So did Damian Lillard. You know, guys look at him and immediately think this is the one to target. I think for the obvious reason. But he has more than held his own. And Doc Rivers said, look, he was our best defensive player on the floor last night. Some of the ways he held up against Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet, Reed Shepard, he basically eliminated from the game. We saw him for a couple of minutes early in that game. A.J. Green shut him down. He did not return to the floor. He's been fantastic. Andre Jackson Jr., you never had any questions about the defense. It was always, how does this fit offensively, especially in those minutes where Giannis is on the floor as well. And I think we've still seen some of those challenges. But the big thing for Ajax was limiting the fouls, and those have drastically cut down. All of this is to say, you know, what's most important, and I keep going back to this, the defensive coordinator, as Doc Rivers has dubbed him for this group, is Greg Buckner, who came over from the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was the associate head coach for the Cavs for the last 4 years. And you look at Cleveland and what they were able to do defensively in those years. Now, this isn't entirely Greg Buckner, but you look at what they were able to do with a very similar makeup in some key areas, I should say, to the Bucks roster construction. They had two twin towers with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. Now, it's not a perfect like-for-like in comparing Evan Mobley to Giannis and Jared Allen to Brook Lopez, but you can see the signs there. And it was one of the things a lot of us wondered before this season started of, are they going to try to play the same way the Cavs did defensively? That Cleveland team, you can make a strong case they have or had in the past tense better perimeter defenders than the Bucks did. Certainly a year ago they did. But outside of Isaac Okoro, nobody would look at that roster and say, man, this is chock full of elite perimeter defenders. You got by with some nice schemes team-wise, but you didn't have the weakest links on the floor, and you took away things at the rim, and you had the versatility of Evan Mobley. We've started to see a lot of that from the Bucks so far this season. With Giannis and Brook Lopez on the floor, you're starting to wall off the rim a lot more and getting back to the Bucks defense of old. Your perimeter, as we just mentioned, you just have to limit your liabilities out there. You know, last year, up and down, when you looked at whatever grouping the Bucks had on the floor, you could find mismatches. You really can't go above one. And last year, the Bucks would trot out lineups where you had two or three or more guys that were mismatches that the opponents would look at and say, this is the weak link to attack. They have severely turn that around. The young players are part of it. The upgrades you made in the offseason are another part of it. Comfort with each other is another big piece for this team. But to tie it all together, their half-court defense has been elite this season. You know, in the last month, I mentioned fifth best. The last 2 weeks, I think they're third best. But season as a whole, they're ninth. It's an area where they were hovering around the bottom 10 a season ago. And that's the biggest issue. Nobody's going to expect the Bucks to be a very good transition defense. They're an older team. Some of the things you're just going to have to live with. But if that's the case, you better be good in the half court. Last season, they were not. This season, they have been. And I think that's a big piece of the spark that we've seen from this defensive identity for this Bucks team. Speaking of that identity, somebody that is very instrumental in turning that around, we talked about Greg Buchner and what he's brought to the defense. Well, the man that brought Greg Buchner to town and attempted to bring him to his staff for the past few years, as we learned on Media Day, is head coach Doc Rivers. He is this week's guest on Courtside with the Milwaukee Bucks. You'll hear that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Weekly.
Basketball is here.
On Courtside tonight, it's Dame time. Our guest, Bucks star Damian Lillard.
Like, I got there and they was like, you know, this is for you. And I was like, man, is this what happens when, you know, when dudes get traded?
This is Courtside with Gail Klappa.
He's the deputy commissioner and chief operating officer of the NBA, Mark Tatum.
Well, look, the Bucks are a championship-level team. There's no doubt about that.
The source for the inside scoop on every dribble, drawn-up play, and decision made.
The head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
I want to get this thing right. I want to win. We want to win.
Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside. For the Bucks, the longest homestand of the year is underway. A chance for the team to build some momentum and rack up some wins after a rocky start to the season. Case in point, Monday night. A heart pounder. It came down to the final 2 seconds. The defense held. The Bucks win 101-100. In that razor-thin victory over the surging Houston Rockets, we may well have seen the best defensive effort of the campaign so far. So, where do we go from here? Tonight, we'll get some veteran wisdom from one of the iconic coaches in the NBA. Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers. Doc, always great to sit down with you here on Courtside.
Hey, Gil, how are you?
We're doing great, and I hope you got some rest after that thrilling victory the other night.
Well, I don't know if you get rest during an NBA season, but you know, we get a little bit. We sneak it in.
There you go. Well, Doc, let's start with your thoughts about an important cog in the Bucks' starting lineup, Brook Lopez. He had a breakout game Monday night from three-point land. Looked like Splash Mountain Doc was alive and well again.
Yeah, you know, he's so important to our team, and he's important, Gail, for a lot of reasons. Obviously, we know he's a great defensive player. He defends the rim as well as anybody in the league. But with the skill set of Giannis and his ability to get downhill, the fact that we have a five that can stretch the floor and take someone out of the paint is huge for us. And, you know, Brook is just not made shots that he usually makes. No one here was panicking. We knew eventually it would fall, and last night it fell. And you can see the difference in our team when that happens.
Oh, that's for sure. And you mentioned Brook's ability to protect the rim, Doc. In addition to scoring 27 points during that Monday night game, Brook blocked 4 shots and stole the ball 3 times. Your thoughts?
Yeah, great hands. You know, Sengun is a tough player. You know, the driver is a little bit unorthodox. And obviously, Brook does what he does at the rim. But we always call little steals like that below the rim blocks. And Brooke had 3 of those last night, which was huge for us.
Yeah, amen. Well, Doc, speaking of defense, the most improved defender on the team, I assume, has got to be one of the young Bucks, A.J. Green. We know he can shoot the lights out, but what are you seeing from A.J. this season on D?
Well, two things. You know, and you can see the maturity already. He came in this summer. Worked as hard as anybody on our team. And one of the things he worked on, he got with Greg Buchner, our new defensive coach, and he really wanted to know every place that he should be when he's off the ball. Because he wanted to make sure he had the system, and he is our best off-the-ball defender. The second thing he did was worked all summer on foot movement, sliding his feet. And there was a display last night several times where, you know, he guarded, slid his feet, beat guys to the spot. He's really strong. I think he's underrated in that. He takes hits. He's very physical. The fact that he can do that, he knows he's going to get on the floor. The way he's shooting the ball and now he can defend has been terrific.
And obviously you're taking advantage and giving him meaningful minutes.
Well, he deserves the minutes. You know, he's earned them. You know, it's funny how things work out. A.J. Green this summer came in really working, right? And so we assumed that he was going to have a great breakout season early on, and he struggled in camp. He struggled in preseason, struggled early in the year, but he kept working, and the minutes came back to him. That's what happens with teams, and it's really good to see.
No, amen. Well, Doc, when you step back and take stock of the team's defense out of the gate this season, where do you see the biggest room for improvement?
Well, number one, defensively, I would start there as transition D. That's where we've made the biggest improvement over the last four or five games. The second part is where we've been hurt the most is just getting beat off the dribble, sliding our feet, keeping the guards out of the paint. And then the third thing is our contested shot rate. We're starting to do that. And the thing that has broken our back all year, Dale, is offensive rebounds. We have to be a more conscious rebounding team.
Well, of course, a healthy Chris Middleton would give the team another all-star caliber player at both ends of the court. What can you tell us, Doc, about his recovery from surgery on both ankles this summer and his return to action?
Yeah, that'd make me a better coach, too. I can tell you that. You know, because it's difficult when, you know, when we play all three guys, you always have two of them on the floor for the most part, with a Bobby or a Brooke, and it just really makes your team have great stability all the time offensively. Chris has worked his butt off. He's close. I don't want to give a date. You know, I'm done doing that. You know, we hoped, you know, first game, and then we hope, you know, 2 weeks into the season, and now we're hoping any day now. So I'm going to stick with that any day now thing. And he's doing the work. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. The ankle honestly just hasn't responded the way we wanted it to and thought it would.
Doc, you've had a fair amount of time now to see Giannis and Damian Lillard in action together. And if you look at the recent league statistics for the season so far, Giannis and Dame are actually the highest scoring combo in the NBA. But what do they need to continue to work on?
You know, it's funny. They are, but they still can get better, you know, and they still can get better. The problem I think they both have is they're both offensive players, great offensive players. So on the first option, they believe the guy that's guarding them, they can score on. And there's times you wish they had more patience with each other as far as going back and forth and playing a two-man game. And you get even a better shot. You know, I always use the good to great analogy, and I think it really, really does come into play with them. And they're great now. You can make a case. Like, they lead the league when they do things together. But they can take that to another level. And the next level is not only just them scoring, but when they do things together, someone else scores as well. And I think that's our next step.
Well, as you know, Giannis having another monster season. He's poured in 59 points in a Bucks win last week. And he seems to be, Doc, more confident in his ability to make shots from the mid-range. Chat about that, if you will.
Yeah, we encourage him to do it. Now, as a team, I think we're taking too many mid-range shots, Gil. I mean, our top five mid-range shots of the year, I think we're 0-5 in those. So there's a number that we go over. But Giannis has to take some of them. He has to take those little elbow shots. I think he's really worked on his footwork in those. And when he does that, he has decent arc on the ball and he makes shots. So we want to keep encouraging him to feel confident in making those. And then we also want to encourage the team to understand when we should take them and when we shouldn't take them. I think that's the next step for our entire team.
We'll have more with Doc Rivers in a moment. This is Courtside on WTMJ.
Here's more Courtside with Gale and Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
Speaking, Doc, of crazy things happening, Damian Lillard was out for, I believe, 3 games recently with a concussion. I understand that he got accidentally whopped in the head by a referee who was waving off a play. Doc, under the league rules, that would be like a flagrant technical. Can we find the ref?
Yeah, I thought we should have reviewed it for sure and called the ref on a flagrant foul. It's amazing. I mean, but that's the point. Like, you go, your team, you go through stuff early in the year, right? And or in any point of the year, and there's things that just you can't foresee. Now, I can guarantee you going into the season that one of us thought, hey, Dame's going to miss three games because the referee hit him in the head.
Right.
That was not on our script. But it happens, and you just keep moving.
It's amazing. Have you ever, Doc, in your long tenure as a head coach, have you ever seen that happen before?
No, I've seen a collision before where a player was injured, where, you know, the ref was one runway and the player was running the other way. But I've never seen a punch. That has never.
Doc, you've patrolled the sidelines as a head coach in the NBA for 25 seasons, and you've seen a lot of changes in that time. Today's NBA game seems, at any rate, to be played with a lot more pace and an incredible emphasis on three-point shooting. If you will, give us your sense of how the game's evolving.
Well, it's involved, number one, in skill. I think the reason the three-point line is coming to play, number one, is there's more analytics involved to it. But number two, it's more skill involved. I think guys are better shooters. And, I think in our era and before that, they were great shooters, but no one focused on the three-point line. You know, had they been, you know, I was telling Rondo this, Rajon Rondo, who's been with us quite a bit. I said, could you imagine if Kevin Garnett had shot more threes? Because it was an easy shot for him. He could have been even more dominant. And we were laughing like it's amazing how different the game is. And it is. I think it's overall good. I do think there's times where you can fall in love with the line. We had one last night where we had a 2-on-1, and you go for the layup instead. We tried the 2-to-3, missed the shot, and came down and got a transition bucket. So you got to pick and choose. I love when we take a lot of them when they're good ones, because what it says is that you're moving the basketball, and you're playing good, solid basketball, and that's good for our game. I think some of the way the game is officiated, its call has changed that too. You know, a lot of touch fouls. So, it's taken a lot of the physicality out of the game, which I actually don't like. I wish we had more. I loved the second half last year when they started allowing you to play. I thought the fans liked that better. There less whistles, more play, and more, I don't know what word you want to use, energy, competitiveness, whatever it is, I thought it brought it back to the game.
One other kind of curveball question for you, but as you know, technology in every aspect of life continues to advance all around us. And I read the other day, Doc, that the NBA is considering the use of artificial intelligence to make foul calls. Given some of our experience, and I know your wallet's a little bit lighter, but given some of our experience this year, what do you make of that idea?
You know, it's funny. I guess I'm considered an old school coach, or old, you know, I've been in the league a long time. I'm probably very open-minded to anything that makes our league better. I've always been that way. And if there's a way to make our league better, then let's do it. I think that we still need, you know, rule changes. I think the last 24 seconds of a game, everything should be reviewed. Hmm. If it's a call that needs to be reviewed. If that had happened, the Detroit game wouldn't have come down to a free throw. The Charlotte game wouldn't have come down to a free throw. They would have been able to review it. I don't think that should come down to if a coach has a challenge or not. I think that's where we need to change. But artificial intelligence is definitely going to enter into our league in some way. I've actually had two different talks with different people about it, as far as play calling, as far as, just efficiency offensively and defensively. No one's figured it out yet how to use it in our league, but it's going to be used.
And finally, Doc, the last word. We're early in a long welcome homestand. What can Bucks fans expect to see over the next few games as we take on the likes of the Bulls and the Pacers?
Just continued improvement. You know, we are getting there. Do I think we're 100% there yet? No, but I think we're close. We have these stretches in games where we had last night, the last 5 minutes of the third quarter. That game should have gone from 12 to 20. Instead of went to 12-1. We have one of those stretches every game. We have to do away with those stretches. And a lot of times that's offense, not defense. It's our shot selection. It's that mid game that we play in too much at times when we have leads. defensively, we're really improving. I think they're finally starting to buy into Buck's system, and it's going to come in. So I think the second, this stretch is going to be a great stretch for us.
Well, Doc, all the best for the homestand ahead, and thank you so much for your time. Just great to visit with you as always. And you've been listening to Courtside on WTMJ. So long, everybody.
Bucks Weekly on WTMJ.
All right, our thanks to Doc Rivers, his conversation with Gale Klappa. If you missed any of that, you can hear it on Bucks Plus and wherever you get your podcast. You can also find the Here District with Marcus and Chris Johnson, all game highlights as well, and some other long-form storytelling pieces that are being put together on Bucks Plus. So search for that wherever you get your podcasts. We did have one notable game in the Eastern Conference go final, and that was in Boston. This is part of group play in the NBA Cup. The Boston Celtics hand the Cleveland Cavaliers their first loss of the season. So Cleveland now 15-1. They failed to become the second team to start a season with 16 or more wins. Of course, the Golden State Warriors, the only other team to do that. But Max, I know you're there, and the resident Cavs fan and expert. Who were the three? So it was the 93 Rockets, the Warriors, and then what, like the 1940 Washington Capitals of the three teams that started 15-0 or better, and all three of those teams reached the NBA Finals?
Yeah, that is correct, and it's that's a stat that you love to see it, and it also scares you because now it's like
it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot. It's 15 games in the season already. You have to make the finals, or it's a bust. But yeah, that's kind of the rare air that they're in for sure.
I forgot about the 9-game win streak the Bucks had 2 years ago to start the season. I think we all remember the 7-0 start in Bud's first year, just because you weren't quite sure what to make of expectations. There was a lot of excitement over the hire of Mike Budenholzer. And I remember going into that season, there was a lot of optimism to begin with. It was the first year of Fiserv Forum. You had just made the playoffs, started to become a perennial playoff team with the loss to the Celtics the spring prior. And the expectations were, because remember, the Bucks hadn't gotten out of the first round since 2001. Hey, we can be a top four seed and we can finally win in the first round. Wouldn't that be great? And they start 7-0, they win 60 games and get the one seed. This Cleveland team, there are some parallels and similarities between them and the Bucks. The reasons that we talked about earlier in the show, when you think about the defensive makeup and how it's constructed around Mobley and Allen. But I think the biggest thing, and we've experienced this as Bucks fans as well, is, there's something to be said for just sticking with the plan and seeing it through and not immediately going into teardown mode at the first sign or second or third of adversity and just believing in the group that you've put together. We saw that from the Bucks. I mean, I know it was a relatively big change to bring in Drew Holiday and make that change, but the Bucks don't get there if they start to blow it up and tinker with some pieces and say, look, this isn't going to work with Giannis and Chris. We got to move one of these guys, or we got to move Brooke Lopez and bring in somebody else. They stuck to their guns and they said, no, we believe this is going to work. We think we just need to upgrade this spot. Even that year, Giannis talked about it. We've heard a number of players talk about it. It wasn't the greatest start. Now, it wasn't 4-9. It wasn't 2-8 the year that the Bucks won the championship. I think they were 8-4 through 12 games. But there was a lot of up and down play, and they were very dominant the previous two seasons. Remember, the season prior, they were on a 70 win pace at one point, which at 15-1, the Cavs are going to be pretty close to that too. But they stuck with it, and they made the one splash to bring in Drew Holiday and then made some minor moves to tinker with it and said, we believe in Giannis, we believe in Chris and Brooke and this group we've assembled, and we're just going to keep fighting. The Denver Nuggets did the same thing. And yeah, the Bucks and Nuggets win two of the three championships in that window. So that was one of the more interesting things about the Cavs coming into this season was they made no changes in the offseason. The only change was bringing in Kenny Atkinson, a coach that at one point was linked to the Bucks multiple times, and said, look, everybody says we have to blow this up. We have to trade one of those two bigs. We have to trade Darius Garland or Donovan Mitchell. We're just going to stick with it. And we think the coaching change is what's going to get us there. And so far, through 16 games, the Cavs are already starting to run away with the Central Division here in the East. We will we'll take a look at the other games that are on the schedule tonight and preview a border battle tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum, the Bucks and the Bulls, round two. We'll do that as we wrap up the show next on Bucks Weekly.
On WTMJ.
All right, so tomorrow night, it is round two against the Chicago Bulls. A disappointing loss, to put it mildly, for the Bucks earlier in the season. That was the home opener. And it was really the second half where things started to slip away from the Bucks. So you have a chance to atone for that tomorrow night. Now, make note of the tip time for each of these next two games. Both home games, but they're both 6:30 tips at Fiserv Forum. You got the Bulls tomorrow night, and then the big one Friday. You don't want to look too far ahead, but I'm sure there is a lot of anticipation for this one Friday evening. This is a group play game in the NBA Cup. The Bucks playing host to Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers. So right now, as it stands, in the Bucks group, the Detroit Pistons are currently leading at 2-0. So you got the Pistons, the Raptors, the Miami Heat, and the Indiana Pacers as the four other teams in your group, Group B, in the NBA Cup. So we got another Cup game this week. You got another one next week as well. It is the only game the Bucks are playing next week, during the week, that is, in Miami against the Heat. And then you wrap up the month of November at home Saturday night against the Washington Wizards. So again, a lot of these games that you have on the schedule, incredibly winnable games, and they're home games to close out this month. So you've got a chance to move, look, in a perfect world, above 500, but you've got a chance to really, really start to make some headway here in the standings in the Eastern Conference with this schedule that's in front of you, both the opponents that are on that and the fact that these are primarily home games. As it stands right now, the Bucks and Brooklyn Nets are both 5-9. You're tied for the 11th seed with the Brooklyn Nets. Your next three games are all against opponents that are directly in front of you in the standings. We mentioned it's the Bulls tomorrow. The Bulls are 6-9. They're in the 9th seed right now in the Eastern Conference. So you win that game, you're 6-9. The Bulls drop behind you at 6-10. Friday night, as we mentioned, the Indiana Pacers. They've gotten off to a very sluggish start so far. The offense has not been anywhere near the elite levels it was a season ago. Tyrese Haliburton has not looked the same player either. They're 6-8. And then you got the Charlotte Hornets. Speaking of rematches, on Saturday, Charlotte is 5-8. So as we mentioned, look, ideally, you can take all three of those games. You're 8-9. You have a chance to close out the month 10-9, above 500. But just get within striking distance and continue to piece together what we've seen from this group. A big part of it is going to be the defense. You'd love to see the offense move north. We spent a lot of time talking about the defense, their metrics, where it has been rated so far this month and this season as a whole. It's been great. The offense has not. It's been in the bottom 10. Part of that is the absence of Chris Middleton. Part of it is Dame missing three games. Part of it is we've seen the offense has not properly been installed yet. You're waiting on Chris Middleton. But that's the piece that's going to need to move forward for this team to continue to make those strides. Again, tomorrow night, Bucks and the Bulls at Fiserv Forum. 6:30 tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our network pregame coverage begins with myself and Dave Kane. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.